This morning, we'll be planting good seed. It's a message, and it's taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. I'll be using other scriptures that goes along with this message, and it's another parable that Jesus spoke of, and we'll get right into it, beginning with verse 24. Which says, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, and here it is, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How does it have tares? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to be burned up, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, in a few minutes, I'll share some answers to the questions that were asked here later on in this chapter. But you may know, be familiar with this message. I entitled it Planting Good Seed because it talks about good seed in this particular passage of scripture and the tares along with it. But planting good seed, and it's taken from what is commonly called the parable of the wheat and the tares. In Genesis, I want to go back into the Old Testament in Genesis to where everything took place, where creation took place, and where God planted the perfect garden. No tares, no corrupt things in the Garden of Eden. And I want to read there, kind of give us a beginning of how God, when he created everything that we see, everything that we know, it was good. Because sin entered the world, there's where the tares come in among the good seed, or the good things of life. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, which says, And the Lord planted a garden into the east, in Eden. And there he placed a man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for the food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you can tie this scriptures together with Matthew chapter 13 of knowing where the good seed was planted by God, but Satan, the evil one, has come into this world and planted the tares. And I hope in this parable, Jesus is teaching and to the believers, those who were following him. It wasn't for the unbelievers because they wouldn't understood it anyway because they didn't have the Spirit of God within them, the indwelling Spirit, to teach them where they could discern between the good wheat or good seed, wheat versus the tares the evil one has planted and brought into this world. Now, our God is the master gardener. And we see that back here in Genesis chapter 2. Having created the Garden of Eden, having established every good tree, every healthy herb, and having planted his ultimate creation, which was mankind. And we know that Adam and Eve were the first two that God created. And he placed them in the perfect setting. Everything they needed, everything was good. And just so happened, Satan shows up and he stirs things up and causes man to sin. Now, in today's parable, here, we will see that Jesus sets out and grows the plants in the garden, and that he is responsible for the harvesting of plants. And sometimes we as believers, we think that we have the responsibility to tend a garden. And we all tend gardens, you know, we like to do that. But in the aspects of what Jesus is referring to, the spiritual side here this morning, this is partially true that we are to be tenders. But Jesus reminds us that our task is not so much tending the garden as it is making sure that we as healthy plants reproduce. Now, we are to reproduce what I would say, bringing others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at the first part, unbelievers mixed among believers, verses 24 through 26. In this parable right here, in Matthew 13, 36 through 43, will give us an explanation in some thought-provoking sense. Who is the man who sowed the good seed? And what is the field? Next, who are the good seed and who are the tares? Now, skipping a little bit further into this passage of scriptures in Matthew chapter 13, 38, we find the answers provided for these two questions that I just mentioned. And verse 37 says, he who sows good seed is the Son of Man. Now, that's in the New Testament here. And who sowed the good seed in the very beginning of creation itself in the Garden of Eden and placed man in the midst was God himself. But here, this scripture talks about he who sows good seed is the Son of Man. In verse 38, the field is the world. That's the answer to the questions here. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, and the sons of the kingdom are believers. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one, and Satan himself is behind that. So in this message and after this message today, I hope we see the significance of good seed, which are true believers, and those who are tares are the unbelieving world. So the one who sows is none other than the gardener, as we see in the scripture, and that is Jesus Christ. He always sows, and he sows the good seed. So why was Jesus called the Son of Man? Well, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 37, the term Son of Man, from the very beginning, even the Old Testament prophets referred to Jesus as the Son of Man, and it was given to him by Isaiah and other prophets for the God incarnate, that that the Messiah would be coming into the world. God made flesh, God with us, God is with us. Our God who came to the earth in the form of the man, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin birth. Now, Jesus is emphasizing his humanity. And we've been studying about that on Wednesday night, his humanity versus his divine side. And he wanted to reveal that he was the one who walked among mankind and had closeness regarded to touch their lives on a personal level. Now, you see, God touches each one of us on a personal level. He is a personal God. He is personal to each one of us. We have that personal relationship with him, and we are to keep that relationship intact. We are to have a daily personal relationship with Jesus Christ each day of our life. See, it was the Son of God, the God in the flesh, who sowed the wheat and planted the believers in the field, according to the scriptures here. So Jesus was establishing his authority as the gardener. He has all authority. Matter of fact, God gave him all authority. He tells us that when he gave us the great commandment and the great commission to go into the world and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, all authority has been given to me both in heaven and here on earth. So he is the authority as the gardener who has the responsibility in managing the crops. Now, Jesus wanted his listeners to heed the message that he desired to communicate in this parable. Now, which is the wheat and the tares. And the explanation of that I'll give on in this message about why the owner said, no, leave the tares there because you might uproot something that is good, which is the good seed, which refers to believers. Now, in verse 25, it says, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Now you know why the disciples said, Jesus, what does all of this mean? What do these parables mean? And so we might be asking the same question. I don't know if you've studied these parables over your lifetime, recently, since we've been doing these parables. But there's questions and maybe answers that we're looking for that will help us understand that the wheat, as we see, is good believers, those who God has sown and placed in the church, placed in this world to do good, as he has done from the very beginning, the tares that are in this world that always are trying to corrupt and do things against God. So the men who slept are believers. Now, it says they slept. They were sleeping. And they come and sowed the tares. Well, those who were sleeping were believers. The word sleeping does not mean that these believers were being lazy. That's not what it means at all. Not tending to the spiritual welfare of others. It was just that they were caught off guard. The believers were caught off guard. Or the ones who were sleeping were caught off guard, which were believers. And that's why Jesus said, you know, watch. Watch, because you never know when Christ will be coming again. And sometimes this whole world will be caught off guard one of these days, just as these men were caught off guard when the enemies came in and sowed tares among the good seed. So in fact, it's not our job as Christians to judge the souls of those who come into the church. We are to trust the Lord who knows the hearts. He knows our hearts. He knows the conditions of our hearts. He knows what we need to do to renew our life with Him. See, our job is to love and nourish the people that God places in our care. Now, let's move on to the next part of this message, which is believers must not do the weeding. God does that. Verses 27 through 29. So here in these verses reveal that a believer is not supposed to strive to get rid of the tares. That's why I said, no, just leave them there. And why should we leave the weeding up to the gardener? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, in verse 29, it says that we must not do the weeding of the garden because while you gather up the tares, you also uproot wheat with them, the good seed. Now, here's Satan. You know, he entered the picture early in the beginning of the centuries in the Old Testament. Now, as believers, you know, Satan, he can tempt us. He can try to distort or twist our thinking when it comes to our relationship with the Lord or believing the Word of God or everything in life itself. Satan cannot uproot plants, the good seed, which is true Christians. Remember Job? He came to God and said, hey, you know that man you, Job? He said, you know, let me have him. I want to work on him. God said, well, you go ahead. You can do anything to Job you want to, but you can't kill him. And of course, we know that Job lost everything in life that was so dear to him. But in the end, he got it back and even more. So God's in control of all things. So Satan cannot uproot the plants, the good seed, which are the true Christians that the scripture's talking about. So he plants counterfeit Christians. There are counterfeit Christians in this world, and we're in the midst of their world. So in this parable, the good seed is not the Word of God. It represents people converted through trusting the Word, God's Word. And the field is not human hearts. The field, again, according to the scriptures, as I read, is the world. That's the field. So Christ is sowing true believers in the various places that he might bear fruit. And that's our responsibility, is to help bear fruit in this world, to help people find the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's in John chapter 12, verses 23 through 26. But wherever Christ sows a true Christian, Satan comes along and he sows a counterfeit. That's what Satan does. Now, what's our responsibility to all of this, to this parable, and to what Jesus is talking about, the good seed versus the tares? As I read this and study this and try to interpret what the scripture reveals to me, and I hope I'm passing this along to you, our task is not to pull up the false, but to plant the true. We are to plant the true Word of God. We are to plant the seed of God. So, and we are to do this in the field. That's the world. That's our responsibility. But we do not pull up the tares itself, but we are planting good seed. That's our responsibility. Jesus will take care of the tares one of these days when he comes back. That's what he's telling us here in the scriptures. So we are not, well, I would say detectives. We're the evangelists. We are to evangelize the world. Just as Jesus told the disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Our area or our community is right here. And of course, we can go beyond just Ripley County into many other areas of the world. But wherever God places us and puts us, that's where we are to plant the good seed. But we must also sow the word of God and bear fruit in the places where he has planted us and be faithful in doing that. Now, let's move on to Jesus is the only true gardener in verse 30. Now, in this particular verse, this is why I want to move forward to Matthew 13:39-43. And this is going to shine a lot of light on the meaning of verse 30 here in this passage of Scripture. And now listen real closely as I read these verses 39-43. And hopefully you'll have a better understanding, as I have a better understanding, of Jesus is the only true gardener. So beginning with verse 39, let's see what it says. An enemy who sowed them is the devil. There it is, the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. That's when the harvest is going to be taking place. At the end of this world, at the end of this age, when Jesus comes back again. And the reapers are the angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. He's talking about the judgment that will be coming to the end of this age, this world, one of these days, when Jesus comes back again. And then verse 41. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom, the kingdom of God, you know, is like. And this is the kingdom he's talking about right here. All stumbling blocks and all of those who commit lawlessness. Verse 42, and will throw them into the furnace of fire, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth. Hey, that's a good song we sung again today. Shine, Jesus, shine. And the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father, our Heavenly Father. He who hears, let him hear. Now you're going to hear this word again. Verse 43, latter part. And he talks, and this same verse or phrase, he who has ear, let him hear, is mentioned in every one of the churches in Revelation, starting chapter 1 through chapter 2. He who has ears, let him hear. So, looking at the harvest, at the end of the age, is the reapers. The reapers are the angels. And therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so it will be at the end of this age, according to Scripture we just read. So the Son of Man will send out his angels. The angels will have that responsibility to come and take care of that. And they will gather out his kingdom, all the things that offended, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the lake of fire, according to the Scriptures right here. And it just says they will be wailing and gnashing of teeth because of the punishment and torment at the end of ages for disobeying God and following Satan. This will be the judgment and punishment brought upon the world who disbelieved, who trusted God as their Savior. And then the righteous, it says, will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. And again, that verse He who has ears, let him hear. Now, what should we acknowledge here? I think we must acknowledge here that the fact that it is the Son of Man, or Jesus, who will sort out all the good, he will sort out all the evil in the day of judgment. And it is coming. And we've heard it all our life. And Jesus specifically points that out here in the parables because he wanted the disciples, he wants us today to understand that day is coming. Think about it. Who would have thought that tomorrow would have come? What were you doing? Where were you? Do you know where you were when 9/11 occurred? 2001? You remember? I know exactly where. I was in my office at Media Baptist Church. And I got the call from Brenda. She called me and said, "This has just happened." You see, no one was expecting this. We was caught off guard, right? Our whole nation was caught off guard. You see how scriptures are the prophecy are being fulfilled. Things happen in our world and we're caught off guard. It's unexpectedly. And that's why Jesus says, "He who has an ear, let him hear." Watch and wait, because you never know when the Son of Man will come, will be coming like a thief in the night. 9/11 happened like a thief in the night. Disrupted, disarrayed the whole, actually not only the United States, but the whole world, that something like that could happen. You know why? Because we let down our guard. We could become so complacent with the good things that God has blessed us with in this nation. And sometimes we just take it for granted that everything is going to be okay. Well, it won't be in this world, but one of the days it will be okay. It will be great and wonderful after the judgment of this world is over. And we are part of the new kingdom. In 2 Timothy 4:1, it says, Paul tells us, "The Lord Jesus Christ will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." Now, again, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, I'm going to point this out again. "He who has an ear, let him hear." Why did Jesus say this? Why did he say it to the churches? Why did he say it here in this passage of scripture? Why did he say it to the disciples? Because if we realize that Jesus reserves the right to this authority, then we must focus on our assigned task, that we are to be planting good seed, which is the Word of God, and winning souls to Jesus Christ. Now, in conclusion here this morning, there are two things that I think that we can take from this parable. First, Jesus warns the believers not to take it on themselves to judge the souls of other people. That's not our responsibility. It's the Lord's. It is Christ who will take the care of the judging of the final tares. It's not ours. Then secondly, Jesus asked us to consider whether or not we are wheat or tares. That's right here. Are we wheat or are we tares? Are we sowing good seed? But are we part of the tares? See, only you and I, in our hearts, know whether or not we are Christians. And that's why I'm talking about that personal relationship between us and a father. Only you know. Only the Heavenly Father knows. And the test of believers is whether he or she bears fruit. Are we bearing fruit in our life? Are we producing the good seed, the good fruit that Jesus is talking about? That's what he was talking about with the disciples here. Are you and I helping others come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? That is part of our responsibility. It's a good responsibility. It's an honorable one. And once more, Matthew 13:43 says, "He who has ears, let him hear." And another word used for this "hear" in the Greek form is listen. Listen. Hear or listen. He who has ears, listen or hears what God has to say. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for this message this morning. I hope that we, each and every one, have a better understanding what the wheat and the tares are that you are talking about in this scripture. You spoke these words to the disciples. You're speaking them to us. And we have a great responsibility of being good stewards of your word, of helping people understand and hearing and listening to your word, praying and seeking your guidance in our lives each day, that we are the good seed. We are the true Christians who are sowing the good seed, the word of God, and helping others find you and know you and have that personal relationship with you. And for the unbelieving world, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for our nation. We pray for this world, that it will wake up, and that the world as a whole and our nation will not be caught off guard with unexpected occurrences. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that our lives will represent and imitate the life of Christ, that he is the ultimate judge, and he will judge this world. It will judge each one of us here today, and it will be a righteous judging. And we thank you, Lord, that your grace and your mercy is always sufficient in times of need. Search our hearts, Lord. Reveal to us, each one of us, what we need to do for you even more as we see the day approaching. And may we encourage one another even the more as we see the day approaching when you will come back one of these days. And then we will better understand why you shared 39 parables to the believers. It was hidden to the unbelievers because they didn't have your spirit. They didn't know you personally. They could not discern your words because they weren't listening. They weren't hearing. May we hear every word that you speak to our hearts through your word and through prayer. And then may we respond to the task you've called us each one to do. Winning others to Jesus Christ, sharing the good word, helping others find you in your kingdom. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.